This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
This is CBS, Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Russia. The aggression towards Ukraine has left Russia isolated from the world community of energy in general, and in specific, nuclear energy. Except, I welcome Andrea Stricker, Nonproliferation and Biodefense Program Deputy Director, Research Fellow at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. Andrea, a very good evening to you. Rosatom is the Russian state-controlled nuclear energy and nuclear weapon entity, founded in 2007. It does a lot of business, $250 billion estimate of its portfolio orders before the war, with lots of projects right now extant, which Russia continues to service. The puzzle is what is to be done. This was a major money earner for Russia before the war and remains a major money earner. I learned from your reporting with your colleague, Anthony Ruggiero, that the G7 has now just moved, finally, in the second year of war, to turn away from using Rosatom as a supplier and to find other resources. It's a joint communique from Japan. What does it say? What is its ambitions? This is the G7, US, UK, Canada, France, and Japan. Good evening to you, Andrea.
Good evening to you, John. Right. So one of the many commitments coming out of the G7 meeting over the weekend in Japan was that the US, the UK, France, Canada, and Japan agreed to combine their national capabilities to replace Russian nuclear fuel supplies that are used around the world for fuel for reactors and to replace fuel for future reactors. So as you mentioned, that's part of a larger effort by the West to curtail business with Rosatom, which has thus far escaped sanctions despite the war. And they're posting these multi-billion dollar earnings. They've reported a 15% revenue increase for 2022, which means, frankly, that it remains a solid Kremlin revenue stream to fund the war.
A puzzle. The United Nations, the U.S., NATO moved very effectively right away after the invasion to sanction Russia and energy, oil and natural gas, but not uranium, not Rosatom, not the money making there. Why was it left out? Do we know now? What was the thinking then, and has it changed now?
We do know. The West has been hesitant to go after Rosatom because they have reactor builds in progress, in some cases in Europe. The administration doesn't want to roil energy markets or raise prices when it's already a sensitive environment. And they don't want to fracture transatlantic unity over Ukraine. And also, backup suppliers are just starting to come online to replace some of Rosatom's portfolio. But we're recommending that the U.S. take the lead here, that they should announce an end to U.S. imports and help other countries replace Russian supplies. So we view it as a positive step, what the G7 has announced here.
You mentioned, quite separate from the G7, an international consortium called Urenco. What is that, and how can that contribute or not to this new sanctions thinking?
Urenco is a consortium that does uranium enrichment, and it's made up of the UK, the Netherlands, and Germany. They also have a location in New Mexico. And from my understanding, they are scaling up to provide more enrichment services for nuclear reactor fuel. So it's a little bit of a puzzle to us why Urenco is not included in this G7 statement. It might be that just they're focusing on the current G7 members who wanted to be a part of this. But we think Urenco would be a good partner to include as well.
Russian nuclear fuel, it's around the world. It's ongoing. You report that reactors in France, Hungary, and Bulgaria all need Russian fuel because it's not like other fuel all the time. So this is going on constantly. The puzzle is, can it be replaced? Are there resources for it? Why does Russia have the lead in this? What is it that they do?
Well, countries rely on Rosatom a large part because they have set prices below market rates. They're a state-run entity, so they can do so. So they've essentially overtaken other countries in reactor sales, nuclear fuels and enrichment, and uranium ore because of this, which, as we know, reduces incentive for investment by Western countries and reduces their ability to compete. The United States also imports uranium ore and enriched uranium from Rosatom for our reactors. And as you noted, the EU has not been able to sanction Rosatom because it needs agreement among 27 members, and some of its members object to curtailing their business. The tide may be turning, though. The EU may be more open to sanctions because a new proposal has been put forth to have wind down periods for some of that business. So it is a good trajectory that they're on in Europe.
I mentioned a detail, but it seems significant. Zaporizhia, the largest nuclear power plant in Europe once upon a time, I believe. Zaporizhia has been taken control of by the Russian forces, and Rosatom is mentioned as present to assure either consistency or security for what seems to be a combat zone. That alone suggests Rosatom is worthy of being sanctioned because of its bad acting with the Russian invaders. What is the status of sanctioning Rosatom and its executives? Have we sanctioned anyone?
Well, thus far, the United States has sanctioned 9 entities and officials, but we're talking about a drop in the bucket because there are dozens and maybe hundreds of officials, you know, on their board, their leadership, and then numerous subsidiaries, both in Russia and overseas, that they could go after. So they're not going after the companies that are still in business with European countries or with the United States. And we want to do that. We want to go after those entities and officials and deter new deals by our adversaries with Rosatom. And as you noted, they're overseeing the occupation of the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant, where the Russian military is committing atrocities and regularly shelling the plant and risking a radiological disaster. And there's lots of other reasons to go after this nuclear conglomerate.
It's called friendshoring, reshoring, onshoring. They talk mostly about manufacturing. But let's talk about uranium ore. I remember doing a story some time ago, beg my weak memory, about Canada having a uranium patch that was highly important to the development of the atomic bomb and nuclear power plants earlier. This is 1940s. I don't know its status today, but is Canada a source of uranium that can be used worldwide? In other words, have we got an alternative ready to go?
Yes, we do. We have Canada. They need to ramp up their production, though. Their mining has fallen into disarray, and same with the United States, really, because of their inability to compete with Russia. But there's also other countries that can backfill the uranium ore supplies. So it's a matter of getting countries moving in the right direction, getting industry incentivized. And as we know, if you stimulate companies and deter them from doing business with Russia, that's going to get things going more quickly. We will jumpstart the process of sidelining Rosatom and Russia's nuclear industry much more efficiently with sanctions.
Back to the G7, the announcement. Good, it's welcome, the communique. What triggered this? Why did the light switch suddenly go on?
It's been going on for a while. They have been talking about sanctions against Rosatom since the invasion, and actually before the invasion, Europe has been trying to wind down its reliance on Russia, as well as the United States. Out of the June 2022 meeting from the G7 was a commitment to do more on winding down reliance on Rosatom. So this is just another step in that direction.
Andrea Stricker of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication, report scams, and update your software. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information and fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.